others. In this time of chaos, confusion and ignorance, when people throughout the world are looking for solutions to their problems, how much of shukr we need to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with Iman, Allah blessed us with Islam, and Allah blessed us with direction in our lives. The reality is that we have got the solutions to the problems of the entire world. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as rahmatul lil alameen. It was a mercy unto the entire mankind and the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have got the pure, pristine, traditional knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with an uninterrupted chain. So the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the solutions to the problems of the entire world. But the tragedy is this, that when that person who has got the beacon of light in his hand and he turns night blind, and instead of him giving any direction to people, he himself is chasing after other blind people looking for direction. So that is our condition, because we don't know what we have. We don't understand, we don't value the knowledge we have got. We don't value Iman. We don't value the Quran. That is why we are now looking for solutions with the rest of people. We are chasing after blind people to look for some direction. So when it came to the spiritual realm, when it came to the spiritual aspect of our lives, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had given us sufficient guidelines. He had taught his ummah. He left his ummah with sufficient knowledge. This knowledge now, you have to continue with this knowledge. You need to hold very firm to this knowledge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want his ummah to be in confusion. He did not want them to have no direction, no way forward. The rest of the world, the kafir, the disbeliever, if he's going through some sort of difficulty, some sort of dark patch in his life, who does he turn to? What does he do? He's got no other recourse but taking away his own life. And here, we as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with knowledge. Allah blessed us with direction. Allah blessed us with nur. Allah blessed us with light. Before we continue speaking about this aspect of nazar, few relevant ahadith and also some of the solutions, some of the remedies, the treatments we can use. There's just a few points I would like to highlight. Moderation is a very important thing in every aspect of your life. Remember, Islam is a deen of moderation. So in every aspect of your life, you have to have moderation. So when it comes to these things also, you will always get people going to one of two extremes. One is that group of people would attribute everything to nazar. Anything happens in their lives, any problem, any sickness, as though they will become oblivious and blinded to all the other causes of problems. The only thing they think to themselves is that there is nazar and maybe we need a taweez or maybe we need some treatment. So this is obviously incorrect. This is not something that we should be doing. There's other causes for problems, there's other reasons why people fall into situations, into sicknesses. There's medical problems, there's medical reasons, there's sicknesses. We have to always keep our mind open to this here. Mawlana Ridwan requested to give more like incidents, you know, day-to-day incidents, so people understand these concepts better. But very long ago, I think it was in December, when a person tried contacting me on the early part of Sunday morning, maybe after Fajr or before Fajr. Old man, and he tells me that his daughter, who is also now elderly, maybe around 50, and her whole body is shaky. So he is quite convinced now that this girl is suffering with some sort of nazar or something has affected her. So I tell him, okay, put on the phone and recite some Quran to see what is the reaction, what is the response. And there is some slight relief that she experiences, but I lay down. This seems to be something, this is not nazar now, this is not a spiritual problem. So I ask the girl to put the father back on the phone, and then I requested him, I think this girl needs to see a doctor. So the man got a bit upset with me first, he knew me. So Sunday morning, and where am I going to take her? I said, see, you need to find a doctor. If you look for a doctor, Sunday morning you will get the doctor. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala put that in my mind, because eventually they took the girl to the doctor, and her sugar, they did not even tell me that she's diabetic. And her sugar was almost 30, close to 30. Immediately they admitted her, and they put her in the hospital. So a lot of times, these types of things are confused now. So you have to always, you know, look at a problem, look at the whole picture of the problem. Don't just look at one aspect. You know, you close your mind, you just say everything is nazar, or everything is jadu, or everything is jinn. You're not going to find solutions to your problems. Another situation is where a person brings a young boy to me. It has to be someone told him to bring his son to me. I looked at the boy in his eyes, I looked at his face. I asked the father, is this boy involved with some sort of substance abuse? I could just make out now from his eyes now, from the look at his face, I read some Quran, I'm seeing that this chap is high. So the father says, yeah, no, you know, he sometimes he does. So I said, why do you bring him to me then? What am I supposed to do with him now? This is not the jadu problem or a jinnat problem. You need to take him to a rehab. Maybe you need to take him for a blood test. You need to take him for a detox. You need to take him for all these different. Remember, whenever you go for assistance somewhere, it's a very important principle. They say a problem well stated is a problem half solved. If you can state well what is your problem, sometimes now you go to the doctor, your stomach is paining, but you're feeling embarrassed to tell him your stomach is paining, so you tell him your head is paining. So how is the doctor going to be able to assist you if you're not stating what is your problem correctly? So you have to state your problem and don't be in a denial state, because if you're in a denial state, then you're not going to solve the problem. Because you're going to try this, you're going to try that, there's going to be no solution. You've got to get to the root of the problem. You've got to get to the bottom of the problem. Maybe after you've taken other means, you just felt, you know, as a safety, as a precautionary measure, you thought, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm doing that now, but is there something for me to remove the nazar? That is a different situation now. So it is very important, this moderation is a very important aspect in life. One day, Fajr time it was. General Masjid, one person comes Saturday morning. So all night, he's from out of town, maybe about 2 hours away from Durban. And he comes to me and he tells me, he went to some center in the past, and he's seeing these shadows, and he's seeing these visions, and they told him that, you know, they've contacted some alim, and they told him to come looking for me. But I'm looking at this boy's face and I can see Friday night, what is he doing here in Durban? All alone, he's not with anyone. You can see on his face now, I don't know what he took. Now he's hallucinating, he's seeing things. Now he's coming for treatment. So I don't know what to even tell him now. Because in that state, how can I explain to him? So I just read some Quran alone in my Jumu'ah, that in that same center you went to, you need to go back there, because this seems to be a very big problem. Now, I don't think I can solve this problem. This is beyond me now. I don't know how to tell him now, because he's not in the state that he can even understand now what I'm going to tell him. So moderation is a very important aspect in life. Also, the purpose for these programs is not that we get overwhelmed with these things. Don't ever get overwhelmed. You know, sometimes you hear some big terms, and you hear like kabbala, and you hear like jinns, and you don't get overwhelmed with these things. Always keep the greatness of Allah before you. Don't ever be frightened. Remember, you got Iman in your heart. You got Quran. You got Ayatul Kursi. You got Mawaz Atain. You got Manzil. Don't be frightened. No, there should be no fear in your heart. Don't get overwhelmed. Always keep Allah's greatness. That's why, you know, in namaz, how many times you say Allahu Akbar? Every posture, every move you say Allahu Akbar. When you say Allahu Akbar, what you mean? Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater than your problems. Allah is greater than your fears. Allah is greater than your phobias, whatever you got in your mind. Remember, Allah is there for you. But you need to believe that Allah is there for you. And nothing can harm you without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah mentions clearly, they cannot harm anyone without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will govern. And it is very important in our lives when we go through problems, inspect our own lives. You know, pious people are talking about. Not simple people like us. But كَانُوا إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Whenever they found things not going the way they wanted it to go. Now you planned something, you projected something, and it's not going that way. So they inspected the amal. Something is wrong here. Namaz is not right. Sometimes the namaz is not right. Sometimes they're not making miswak at the time of wudu. Me and you thought, miswak is a small thing. But for them it was a big thing. Because miswak, according to the saying of some of the wise predecessors, constitutes that half of your wudu. An internal part of your wudu lies in miswak. So I'm not missing my miswak. Maybe the last namaz, I didn't make miswak. These few days now, I'm missing my sunnahs. I'm not reading my tahajjud now. My awabeen are not reading. The tilawat of the Quran every day, I was finishing the two paras paper, I'm not completing it now. So they looked at the amal. They inspected the amal. Some people went to this extent. One of the salaf used to say, that inni la arifu dhunubi fi khuluqi dhabati wa imraati. The day when I come home and my wife is not behaving correctly towards me, she's behaving indifferently. I see my own sins. I can see my own sins, my own weaknesses. These are who? Pious people, saints of their times. But they felt not. Even that animal, the jungle, that horse, it's being stubborn today. The camel is being stubborn today. No, no, this is my own sins. So constantly look in your own life and you'll find sometimes it's your namaz, sometimes your ibadat, sometimes you're missing some namaz, you're going to plead fajr time, you're oversleeping, you're not reading your fajr, maybe you're not reading your fajr in jamaat, you're supposed to be in a masjid, you're getting lazy, you're reading the fajr at home. Often it is your zakat. Sometimes a person is not particular, maybe you're giving zakat, but maybe you're not giving the right amount of zakat. Maybe you're not giving it in the right avenues. You're giving it to the people, you're giving it to a wrong avenue. People are misusing it. There's so many bogus collectors in this day and time. Now you're just giving your zakat. You're not doing the required investigation. You're not finding out, should I be giving it in this avenue? Should not, so often in life, there's certain things that we are doing wrong. There's certain things we did wrong in the past. We maybe never made tawbah. And sometimes all it means is shedding a few tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah wants. Allah wants us to cry. And that few tears we shed before Allah, we sin. We live the life of sin. We live the life of negligence. Allah, we broke your commands. We made mistakes. But now we have fallen into a problem. Only Allah can solve that problem. There's no one else that can solve your problem. Remember, there is no ta'weez. There is no amir. There is, no one, no magician, no one on the surface of this earth that can solve your problem. It is only Allah that can solve your problem. And often Allah is not solving it because He wants you to turn to Him. Maybe you're already turning to Him, but He wants you to turn more to Him. He wants you to become closer to Him. He wants you to start changing every aspect of your life because Allah wants to bless you in this dunya and Allah wants to bless you in the akhirah. So it is very important to keep all these aspects before us. Very, very important, because unfortunately now we have come to this point where we don't look at all this. We're not prepared to inspect our lives. We're not prepared to change our lives. Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he used to give someone a ta'weez, you should give him with one condition. You must read your five namaz. If you don't read the namaz, I'm not going to give you the ta'weez, because there's going to be no benefit for that ta'weez. That ta'weez is not going to benefit you because you're not reading your namazes. Often in life, you see a lot of problems in our lives are self-inflicted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got farishtas that are there to protect us. But now we have put on the television in the home. There are some amils from Bangladesh, one particular person. When he comes to anyone, if they ask him to treat, You have a television in your house. You tell your God, say, I can't cheat you, sorry, it's not going to work. My treatment is not going to work because we're going to try to bring in the help of Allah, the mercy of Allah, you know, the angels of Rahman, and that filth is going to be playing in your home. And what's going to happen? Then you're going to destroy the effect of all this. This is nur, this is light, this is barakah, that is darkness, that is filth. So sometimes it is that type of a thing. Often in life a person is not taking care of his physical health. A person is a... You find very few people in this day and time that actually take care of their health. You know, this body is an amanat. You're not supposed to just stuff in this body anything and everything. You're supposed to be particular. You're supposed to eat healthy food. You put nutritious food. They say there's about 8 principles for good health. And someone then put it in one sentence. Start new. Start new. The 8 principles for good health. The first one is sunlight. How often do people walk in the sunlight? And you'll find so many people are short of vitamin D. So now you could say, you know what, some sort of nazar or jinn or jadu. But that free medication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available for you, you're not using that free medication. Then the second thing is a tea. It's a temperation or something like that. But what it means is moderation. Means moderation. Moderation in what you take. Whatever you take, the food you consume, moderation. Allah Ta'ala never created you just to eat all the time. Moderation is a very important thing. Some people, just by adjusting their diets, they found such a big difference in their health. Just by changing their diets. Then is air. Oxygen. They say, subah ki hawa, laakon ki dawa. In the morning, the fresh, crisp air of the morning, when most of us are sleeping, that is the medication for hundreds of thousands of people. You know, people waking up early in the morning and they're walking. So you find that fresh air, that crisp air, how beneficial it is for them. Then rest. Your body needs rest. 6 to 8 hours. Now you're working all the time. You don't want to rest. And sometimes it happens with the students also in the madrasa, they're overexerting themselves. And the hakims call this kushni. When there's like a dryness that sets over the brain, now you don't know what's happening to the person and something is going wrong with him. So he's not getting the adequate rest. Then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust. Always trust in Allah. Always. Put your trust in Allah. You put your trust in yourself, you'll always be worried. You know, I don't know, can I make it? I won't make it. I don't think I'm going to be able to, you know, reach there. But put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then nutrition. Nutrition is a very important thing. To eat the right types of foods. A balanced diet. Healthy food. Not junk food. And then, exercise. Hippocrates is one of the, you know, the founders of medicine. And he says, walking is man's best medicine. Hippocrates mentioned walking, and many pious people you find, despite the fact that they didn't live luxurious lives like how he didn't have cars and all his comforts, but every morning you find few kilometers, they're going for a walk. So exercise, how important it is. And the last thing is water. How much of water you consume. You should be not now eating cold drink, and someone is drinking some, you know, coffee, and is drinking different types of things, but how much of water are we consuming? So these are all very, very important aspects of our lives. If you want good health, and we want to always, you know, be happy, we want to be successful in this dunya also, in the akhirat also, if you got good health, you can do ibadat also properly. Your namaz will have life. It's not a person need namaz, it's what you have to skip. You're actually yearning nowadays, sometimes you stand next to a person, some people are actually snoring in namaz. They're actually snoring, they're falling off to sleep. Now, like, maybe I'm not saying the namaz is going to be invalid, right? But what that namaz, what's going to bring to you now? What spirituality? If you are falling off to sleep in namaz, you make zikr, you're falling off to sleep, whatever you're doing, you're reading Quran, you're falling off to sleep, you are very unhealthy, you are unfit, you need to do something about yourself. So this balance is a very, very important aspect. I thought it's very important for me to mention this here, because if I just give you a whole bayan of nazar and you think that's everything in life, then I will be deceiving you. I have to put the whole picture before you, because I don't want to deceive you. You have to understand life, keep everything, all different angles before you. Be a balanced person, be a level-headed person. So when it comes to nazar, there are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, we did a program last year sometime, and in that program we had given out these notes. There's about 9 methods for removing nazar. We're going to come to the notes. Time will not permit us to read through the whole notes. I just want to highlight something to you, but the rest of it is quite straightforward. You can read through it, inshallah. You can take it home, you can use it, you can benefit. You can benefit others also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-Ainu Haqqun. This hadith appears in Bukhari Sharif, in Muslim Sharif. Very authentic hadith. Where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Nazar is a reality. It is not something that is just in someone's mind. That's the other extreme. You got another group of people who say, this is only in your mind, and you know, there's no reality to it. No, this is a real thing. Al-Ainu Haqqun. And then to show the effect of it, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, No kana shay'un sabiq al-qadri. لَسَبَقَتْهُ الْعِينَ. If anything could beat taqdeer, the divine destiny of Allah, if anything could overpower the divine destiny of Allah, then nazar would have overpowered the divine destiny of Allah. But we know, whatever Allah decides will obviously happen. Nothing can overpower it. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even mentioned, وَإِذَا سُفْسِلْتُمْ فَقْسِلُوا. In those days, one of the treatments that was used, and can still be used now, if you know which person put the nazar on you, unnecessarily you should not entertain suspicions in your mind. You know, people when they get involved in the chakra of nazar and jadu, Allah protect, it's a very vicious circle this. Because then you start entertaining suspicions to such an extent, people are now starting to believe that their own mothers, imagine your mother will never do anything, but there are people out in this world who believe their own mothers are doing jadu. Allah protect. May Allah protect us forever, forever. Have we given entertaining the slightest doubt in our minds also? So all this thing, take it out of your system. Don't, you know, start accusing people. Yes, if you need to sort your problem, sort it out, you need to solve it, you need some treatment, use the treatment. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you do know who put the nazar on you, then one of the treatments was that person would have a bath, and that water was taken and thrown over the affected person. And there were instances when immediately that person had found relief. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd ibn Hunayf radiallahu anhu was quite a handsome person with very beautiful skin. And he was having a bath. And in those days and times, India till now, you'll find people have a bath outside with their lugi on. And Hazrat Amir ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala, he looks at the skin of Sa'd ibn Hunayf. And he says, لَمْ أَرَكَ الْيَوْمْ وَلَا جِلَّ مُخَبَّهَ. I have never seen any skin so beautiful as I am seeing today. Not even the skin of a girl who, you know, is in parda and who is in the confines of a home. And he just had to look at him and he just had to say this. And immediately, Sa'd ibn Hunayf radiallahu anhu falls down. He falls down, he can't wake up. Some rewrites show that he develops a very high fever. Sahaba come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately, they expect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the conditions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who do you people suspect, who do you think would have passed this nazar? They say, no, it was Hazrat Amir ibn Rabi'ah. Amir ibn Rabi'ah is a great Sahabi. Remember, he never had any jealousy in his heart. So nazar doesn't only fall when you've got jealousy. Nazar even falls when there's admiration. But you don't say mashallah. You don't say barakallah. That nazar can fall. How often does it happen? You're looking at a small baby. Wow, gorgeous. What a beautiful baby. Oh, how handsome. Oh, how cute. How many people in this day and time say, mashallah, barakallah? They're not trained to say those things. In fact, if anything, That's very narrow people systems now. Very few people you're going to find that are saying, MashaAllah, Barakallah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, first he reprimands Hazrat Amir ibn Rabi'ah. Ala ma yaqtulu ahadukum akhahu. Why does one of you, you know, want to kill his brother? Cause harm to his brother. Allah barakta. Why didn't you say Barakallah? When you looked at him, you invited him. Beautiful skin, Barakallah, may Allah give birth. MashaAllah, this is Allah's power, Allah's qudrat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, Amir ibn Rabi'ah, radiallahu anhu, you have a bath, and that water was collected. And then that water was then taken, and it was thrown over Hazrat Salim ibn Hunayf, radiallahu anhu. And the narrator of the hadith says, that as soon as that water fell on Salim ibn Hunayf, he woke up like normal, like nothing was wrong. Immediately, instantly, they found the effects. There was another incident also, of recent times, when a person's child had developed some sort of a disorder or sickness where like the palms and the fists were like clenched and it was like turned into him, and also the feet also were like turned in. So this person for 3 years, he traveled the entire world looking for specialists and doctors to treat his child. He couldn't come right. Eventually someone showed him one Arab army, some army in the Arab world, and he brought the child there, and this army started reading some Quran Sharif, and then he asked the child, can you see anything? He said, I can see my own father, I'm picturing my father. So the person asked, the army asked the father, did you ever like praise your child in public or do something like this? So he thinks, since yeah, we had a family function, and in the family function, in front of everyone, I praise my child. Everyone likes to praise their own children. But remember, it's not advisable to do these things. Not in a public forum, make sugar. If Allah blessed you with good children, go to Musalla, make sugar, make 2 rakats, make to Allah, keep them like that. Allah make them better than that. Don't go praise them in the whole world. So he says, I think that nazar must have fallen at that time. So he asked the father then to have a bath, and they threw the water over the child. And alhamdulillah, the child recovered from that sickness. So this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this nazar is a reality. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعِينَ لَتُدْخِلُ الرَّجُلَ الْقَبَرُ وَتُدْخِلُ الْجَمَلَ الْقِدَرُ. That this nazar could eventually result in this, that a person could end up in the qabr. Meaning that maybe some sickness could develop, some problem, some complication, and ultimately, a person can even leave this dunya. And even the camel, sometimes nazar falls on a camel. Someone looked at that camel, look at how beautiful this camel is. And he doesn't say, MashaAllah, Barakallah. The camel gets sick. The owner thinks to himself that now this camel is sick, before he dies, let me slaughter it. He slaughters it, and eventually he ends up in the pot and people eat it. But event was the actual cause of it was nazar. Because he didn't realize now that the nazar even fell on that camel. And there are many hadiths of this nature. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ الْعِينَ لَتُولَعُ بِالرَّجُلُ فَيَسْبَتُ حَالِقًا فَيَتَرَدَّى مِنْهُ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. Sometimes, nazar will fall on a man, you know, meaning a strong person. Why there is not talking about a man? Not talking about a child, not about a woman, not about someone weak. Someone strong. This man is a strong person. And the effect of this was that he may, you know, go to a high place and he will fall from that high place. He will slip from that high place. Why? The impact of nazar. So this nazar is a reality. Obviously, we understand everything is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. Only Allah's will, Allah's permission, Allah's decree, Allah decreed that that person is going to go through that, and that nazar became the means of it. So there are many ahadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, in the Quran Sharif, Surah Qalam, this last 2 verses, Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah, he says, that's also going to come in the notes, وَإِيَّكَانُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. He says, some mufassirin have mentioned an incident behind the revelation of these verses. You see, in the Arabs, there was one man, he was known to have a very bad nazar. And some ulama mentioned that even in our community, if someone got a bad nazar, they must keep him away from people. if it's proven, it's that, not wrong now, we're not talking about people just suspicion now, making up stories, but if it is proven, you know, a few times you looked at people, and instantly just look, and immediately, you know, the person fell down or something happened, you get people who will tell you, you know what, I'm wearing a new watch, brand new watch, expensive, 10, 20,000 and watch, strong watch, someone just looked at my watch and told me, what a nice watch, and just in the next few minutes, the watch falls and broken to bits and pieces. He can't understand also how that whole thing just broke to bits and pieces. But anyway, the Fuqaha do mention this here, that type of person, you keep him away from, you don't tell him to come, doesn't come to a masjid also. He will just stay one side, and you know, maybe even if it means now you're going to give him something to keep him there. But keep him out of the eyes of people. If he needs something for his livelihood, give him something. Some ulama have even mentioned this here. So we went back to this Arabs now, they had this person, and 2-3 days he should not eat. He should do some spiritual exercises. And then he would be like a Bedouin, you know, maybe like in a tent or something. And he'd just lift up one side of the tent, and he'd see some camels, or he'd see some cattle passing. And he would say, لَمْ أَرَكَ الْيَوْمِ أَحْسَنَ مِنْ هَذَا إِبِلًا وَغَنَمًا. And he'd just look at those camels, and immediately a whole lot of camels would fall down instantly and die. So these people came to this person, this Quraysh, the Kufar. You know, they were so desperate to harm Rasulullah. Whatever method they can use now to harm Rasulullah, they came and told this person here that you must now cast the evil eye of Rasulullah. So here he sees Nabi Sallallahu and he says, قَدَ كَانَ قَوْمُكَ يَحْسَبُونَكَ سَيِّدًا. Your people, they think you are a leader. وَأَخَالُ أَنَّكَ سَيِّدُ الْمَعْيُونُ. And I think you are the leader who is affected with the evil eye. But Allah protected Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So although this person tried to cast the evil eye on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and on that occasion they say, this eye is revealed, وَإِيَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. They tried to harm you, using their gazes also, using their nazar also, they tried to harm you. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the protector. So there are hadiths, in fact, even if you look in the Quran Sharif, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam, he had 12 sons with Yusuf alayhi salam. So one occasion, he's sending his sons to Egypt, you know, all his sons, 11 sons, Yusuf alayhi salam was not there. So he told them, Udkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqa. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam told his sons, then when you come into Egypt now, they have like gates now to enter. So all of you all don't enter from one gate, because people can look at you all, nazar can fall on you. 11 sons from one father, and they were like well built, strong, good looking youngsters. So he was afraid that nazar mustn't fall on his children. So that's why he told him, when you all enter now, whatever is the degree of Allah, ultimately that will happen, but I'm just showing you now some permissible means that you could use. And ulama even mentioned that you can even put nazar on your own self. Someone can put nazar on their own self. Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, Allama Alusi Rahmatullahi mentions in Rul Mani, says Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, one day he was speaking about all the leaders that came before him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he praised everyone. And eventually he came to himself, and he's admiring himself, and he said, وَأَنَا الْمَلِكُ الشَّابُ وَأَنَا الْمَلِكُ الشَّابُ. I am the young king. All of them came before. They were old. They were advanced in age. But I am the young king. And he's, you know, admiring himself, and he's saying, they say, not 1 month passed, and he passed away. The nazar, his own nazar hit him. So that's why even if person is admiring his own self, then make dua, barakallah, mashallah. You don't want your own nazar to affect you. And then ulama even mentioned that you get nazar of humans, and then you get nazar of jinns also too. Not only of humans. What is a human is putting nazar, but even get a jinn. So you cannot see a jinn. So you may teach yourself that I'm not going nowhere. No one saw me. So where did nazar come from? No, even the jinnat also can cast this evil eye over you. So this is a reality. As I mentioned to you, there are many ahadiths of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Time does not permit us to go into all the details. One hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَكْثَرُ مَن يَمُوتُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي بعد قضاء الله وقدره من العين. A large amount of my ummah will pass away after the decree of Allah. Everything is the decree of Allah. One of the causes could be that because of us. A large amount of my ummah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amarani an astaghfiya min al-ayn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told me that if I'm experiencing, you know, for nazar, I must get someone to read Quran Sharif and blow on me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once went into the house of Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu anha. He sees one of the slave girls and he sees her face and he says, you know, this girl is affected with nazar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, someone should read and blow on her, read Quran Sharif, because her face was pain. Her face was gone pain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the children of Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. Mani ara atsama bani akhi dhari'atan. He asked the mother, Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha, why are these children so weak? Are they short of something? Every time I look at them, they're looking so weak, looking so frail. She says, no, they're not short of anything, alhamdulillah. We've got sufficient of everything. But they're always affected with nazar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read and blow on them. Read Quran Sharif and blow on them. And inshallah, this will be a means of removing this nazar. So these are some of the hadith we find in the authentic books of hadith. Just to give us an idea and understanding. But again, let us not forget the lesson of moderation that we mentioned in the beginning. Let's now not attribute everything to nazar. Let's understand it in the correct perspective. Yes, where there may be some nazar, you will try and treat it. But if it's also possible, there could be a medical problem, you will seek medical assistance, you will seek medical guidance. Some of the points that we just wanted to highlight from the notes we have got here before us. There's some general advices. I don't wish to go through all the general advices, but it is very important for us to read these general advices. But as far as possible, live a simple life and do not expose to others the favors which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to us. Avoid posting pictures of your life on Instagram and social media platforms. Nazar can even fall from here, even from a picture. Ulama mentioned that even from, because you see, it's something to do with the mind. It's something, it's a spiritual part of this person. So when he's looking at the picture and either he's admiring, and now you find people putting every picture on social media, every single picture. Pictures, although this is something that they're not supposed to be doing, it's not allowed in the Shariat, but now you're taking the picture of your child, someone is putting the picture of his wife, putting the picture of his sister. Putting this picture in social media, and now that you are having problems in your life, so now who is there to blame? If you yourself have exposed yourself to this harm, and now you say, now why am I being afflicted? Why am I being affected? So we need to avoid all these things. Remember, when a person, sometimes even it may not necessarily be a picture also, but you put in everything of your life. Now you are traveling business class, so now you have to put a picture of your boarding pass. Your boarding pass showing the world. Why you travel business class? Because you want to show the world what you are worth. How much you know, you are a high flyer. Even if you wanted to travel business class, why do you have to show the world? You travel for your own self. If you wanted to go for the holiday, why do you have to show the world? Go for your own enjoyment. Why do you have to see how many likes you're getting on your social media posts? You know, you put your pictures. So there's so many problems. First thing, number one, you are showing off. Showing off is a significant sin. Secondly, the person who is reading those things, often he cannot afford it. So you are putting him in a depression. So that's, you are also responsible for putting that man in a depression. You're making him feel down now. Why? Because you are putting all those things on social media. The third thing is that sometimes he's become envious in his heart. He's becoming jealous in his heart. Now he's falling in a sin too. Because of you, he's falling in a sin. The fourth thing is that nazar is falling. Now, how many harms these? I just showed you four harms now that is coming about from all these things. So let us be particular about this. Sometimes you get carried away. You know, we see people doing things. There's no direction, there's no reason for us to do it. It's not good, there's no benefit, there's no reward. But because, remember, if the whole world is moving towards Jahannam, it doesn't mean we must move towards Jahannam. As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. We got iman. We got to be different. We have to behave different. Even if the whole world is being in one direction, we need to move to Jannah. We don't want to move to Jannah. So let us be particular about all this. Another one, Hadith, Hadith Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Istainu
على قضاء حوائجهم بالكتمان. فإن كل ذي نعمة محصول. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم seek assistance. Seek assistance in the fulfilling of your needs by concealing your ambitions. Now you've got some ambition, you've got some hope. Don't go and tell the whole dunya. There's not many people out there that's going to make dua for you. There's not many people out there that are going to wish well for you. Conceal it. Because every person who has got a ni'mat, then there's someone that's going to be envious of you. Someone's going to be jealous of you. Now why do you want to attract that negativity in your life? You don't want that negativity. So this is an important point for us to keep before us. Then when seeing something that pleases you, this is a very easy thing. Even if it be while looking at your own child, recite MashaAllah la quwwata illa billah. Some, you know, pious people of the past, like Bab ibn Mudabbi rahmatullahi alayhi, they had this engraved by the entrances of their homes, MashaAllah la quwwata illa billah. When you will travel in Saudi Arabia, you will see the backs of many vehicles, you know, the windscreen in the back, MashaAllah tabarakallah. MashaAllah, because even if someone's going to look at that vehicle, you'll see that MashaAllah, it's a reminder for you. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Get in the habit of saying this, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Ma an'ama Allahu ala abdi ni'matan min ahlin wa malin wa walad, fa yaqul MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, fa yara fihi afatan dun al-maut. No person Allah blesses him with any ni'mat and any favor. And then when he looks at it, he says, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, then he will never see any problem, any calamity, any difficulty, except what? If something is meant to happen, someone is meant to leave this dunya, they will leave this dunya. Inshallah, whenever you're looking at your car, or you're looking at your home, or you're looking at your children, or you're even looking at your wife, whatever it is, you're saying, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, through the burden of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them from nazar. Then you look into there's about nine different treatments and for this nazar, but a very effective one is the sixth treatment that's called the anti-nazar formula. There were instances where people were about to be hospitalized. Children were about to be hospitalized, parents got worried, they started doing this amal, alhamdulillah, to the barakah of that, 1-2 days, we saw the child is recovering and it saved them from hospitalizing the child. So this is quite an effective amal in the manzil. Once before we did have a program here about the manzil. The manzil is also a very, very effective remedy against all forms of evil. But remember, read with concentration and conviction. Two things. You can't be sleeping and reading. You're like how sometimes maybe it's okay, the bayan will fall up to sleep, it's alright, never. It's okay, they fall up. But now you're reading that if you want that effect, you gotta be awake, you gotta be alert. Read with strength. You know they say, a safe with dory. I can give you a strong sword also. But put it in the hand of a small child, he's going to do nothing with the sword. Why? He doesn't even know how to hit with the sword. What matters is how hard he hits. You've got the sword. You've got the weapon. But you need to use it and hit it hard. So you need to put your spirituality in there. You need to put some concentration. You cannot be sleeping. You need to be focused. You need to be concentrating and have full conviction. Don't do it because you're trying it out. No. Allah, there's shifa in the words of Allah. There's barakah in the words of Allah. There's shifa, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me there's shifa. Allah Himself is saying that what you does know in the Quran, Ma'wa shifa, in the Quran is shifa. Really with full conviction, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the barakah in. So there's 9 methods here, but since we did this program before, we thought we would share 2 more methods that's not in the notes. One is a very easy, simple thing. It's something that we can always do for our children. Remember, our children are our main concern. Our greatest asset is our children. And we're always concerned about them. We're worried about them. No harm must come to this child. Sometimes, maybe because of that evil effect, you don't know what can go wrong. So a bottle of good quality honey. This is like a spiritual immune booster. You know, sometimes you need an immune booster. So like you get the physical immune system, you get the spiritual immune system. Sometimes you just attach names to these treatments. So it's easier for you to relate and you understand the benefit of it. So this is like a spiritual immune booster. And Hazrat Mohammed Patel rahmatullahi, he used to recommend this remedy, but slightly in a different way. He should speak about water, drinking of water. So you read Durood Sharif 3 times. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azim 99 times. If you go over, it's okay.
كله عند الله.
And then read Durood Sharif 3 times a day, but 4 times, read Durood Sharif 7 times, 11 times, and blow on your honey, open the bottle of honey, and blow directly onto the honey. And every morning, give your child a little bit of this honey. According to his age, small child, 1/8 of a teaspoon, 1/4 teaspoon, a little bit bigger, 1/2 teaspoon, maybe a teenager, a youngster, give him a teaspoon. Inshallah, this year will protect that child from all forms of nasr. As I mentioned, spiritual immune booster. Now, his spirituality is strong. So even if someone is looking at him, because you can't avoid that, the child is going to go out, what are you going to do? So people are going to look at him. But inshallah, this is going to now protect him. It's going to form some sort of protection for that child. So this is one treatment. And the other treatment, there is Amir in India, and he got quite a bit of etimad on this treatment. In fact, there's a whole clip of his where he mentioned so many different stories and how many people he treated with different even sicknesses too. He says sometimes where the sicknesses were caused because of nazar, they found a lot of relief, a lot of benefit. I'll mention one two stories before we complete, but let me just tell you what's the procedure. You take 1/2 bucket of water. So because you're going to bath with this water, you rather make it warm. And then you put both your hands inside the water. The person who is doing the amal now for himself. You read Durood Sharif 7 times. Surah Fatiha 7 times. Ayatul Kursi 7 times. Surah Kafirun 7 times. Surah Ikhlas 7 times. Surah Falak 7 times. Surah Nas 7 times. And Durood Sharif 7 times. So you start with the Durood in the beginning 7 and in the end Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, 4 pulls. You read all 7 times. You don't blow in the water, but while you're reading, your hands are inside the water. Then you take that water and you go to the bathroom and you have a bath. So he says, do this for 21 days. Minimum 21 days, and after that, a maintenance plan. You know, sometimes for these things, you need a maintenance plan because they tend to leak up. Man changed himself after 2 months now, he's feeling down again. So we always recommend a maintenance plan. Even the diets will tell you. You need a maintenance plan. Now you don't maintain a diet, you're going to pick up your weight again. So he says once a week after that, do it. He says he's had so much of success, alhamdulillah, so many stories, so many people told him they had blockages in their lives. You know, they had blockages, they did not know where to turn to, what to do. But after they started this year, they found doors just opening up for them. They just found things opening up for them. He mentions one incident of a Qari Sahib. He says this Qari Sahib one day comes to him and he tells him that for 3 years now I'm suffering with this cough. Qari Sahib had a very beautiful voice, naturally beautiful voice. People are going to praise him, people are going to admire his voice. So he tells him, all right, Qari Sahib, do the same thing now I told you. And take Swaleen. Swaleen is a herbal tablet. This herbal dawakhana they make it for coughs. The Qari Sahib is telling him, you know, Malala, so many Swaleen I eat. He said, no. Now you do this and you take the Swaleen. Sometimes, if you've got that element of nazar, then you need to do the nazar treatment and then you take your medication also. Maybe just without doing that, the medication may not have the required effect. He says, you just did that. I think on that first time, first day he did it, already he found something to it. Alhamdulillah. After 3 years, his cough came back. Just by him doing this amal. And he says, mentions another incident. He says there was one mufti sahab, and the child now became very rebellious. And he doesn't know what to do. Child becomes rebellious. It's a very difficult situation. But what you do with your child now? You can't really do much. So now he doesn't know what to do now. The child doesn't want to stay in Bombay. He doesn't want to stay in the village. He says he doesn't want to stay with them. He wants to go out. So he came to this Maulana. And the Maulana told him that, see, it seems like, first of all, your nazar and your wife's nazar must have fell on this child. And often that is the case. It is your own nazar that's falling on the child. He says, yeah, you know what? This child, when he was young, he was so obedient. I should constantly praise him. You know, what a good child I've got. This child is so obedient, now he's gone. So this Maulana told him, this Amir told him, okay, first thing number one, you're going to do this amal, This is what I told you about the half bucket of water that you need to do. And the second thing, you and your wife, because some relations got wudu, so he used the word wudu, you must make wudu. And some hadiths speak about ghusl. So you must make ghusl and accumulate that water and pour it over that child. So you all do that and let him do this other bucket thing. He says in 1 week, the Mufti Sahib came and said, Alhamdulillah, now the child is becoming obedient. He's apologizing for the past, all the demands he was making. He says he's not going to do it in the future. Just in 1 week, Alhamdulillah, with the fazl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, respected friends, miracles still happen till today. Don't undermine the burden of the Quran Sharif. I'll finish it with one last incident because Maulid Wali requested to make some zikr also. This also happened now in December. Where one person phones me and he tells me, got a 7-year-old daughter. He doesn't know what happened. The daughter just starts slurring. She can't speak properly. The eyes become droopy. Admits the child in hospital. Child is in hospital over a week. They're giving the child steroids. They bring this week. Nothing seems to be helping. So first I recommended some amals to him, some nazar and whatever. And he started doing it. But after a few days he told me he hasn't seen much improvement. Then this thought came to mind, well, I was not in the position also to go to see the child in the hospital. That hospital now, visiting hours was not convenient. So I think they were supposed to transfer the child to another hospital. So he told me his one son is a hafiz of the Quran. So this you can do it yourself. So I told him, okay, tell your son to go to the ears of the child and read, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثُوا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Till the end, this comes in the months in 7 times. And this ayat, وَلَوَدْ فَتَنَّا سُلِيمَانَ وَأَلْقِينَ عَلَىٰ كُرْسِيهِ جَسَدًا ثُمَّانَ 7 times. Put his mouth by the child's ears. Imagine now, over 1 week, specialists are battling, child, all the medication they got, they confused, they don't know what to do about to transfer the child to another. Imagine small child. I was more worried about the fact. Small child is pumping medication and steroids, and sometimes they go to hospital, just do anything and everything now. The person sent me a message, his son does it. And immediately after it said, Mawlana, Alhamdulillah, my son just read in this child's ears. And instantly, the slurring drastically improved. I can't say it's gone completely, but already 80-90% the slurring is gone. The child stopped slurring after now a few weeks of battling, trying to solve this problem. So I told him, you know, just tell your son to just carry on doing it whenever you're going to the hospital. Carry on, Alhamdulillah, after a few days, send a message to say the child is discharged, Alhamdulillah, etc. So till this day and time, miracles happen. Don't undermine the power of the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the Quran. Let us make shukr to Allah. Let us thank Allah. Let us utilize it. Let us use it. But remember, everything happens with the permission of Allah. So most importantly, try and build up your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can draw from the treasures of Allah. Everyone wants to come to a point where you got that closeness of Allah, where you can go on the musalla, you can cry, you can read two rakats namaz, and you can draw directly from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have to work to building that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding of Akhiru Da'wana.